Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Titus Kaper, who is one of this country's great artists and is celebrated for bringing art into a whole new direction that involves African-American experience. He's embarked on making what appears to be his first leap out of painting into movie making, and everyone's very excited about it, and it's going to be one of the closely watched films here at the Hamptons Film Festival. Titus, how are you, and where are you, right? Where are we talking?
Thank you for having me, Dan. I really appreciate being here. I am actually at Next Haven, the not-for-profit I started that works with young artists of color and helps them get their careers on track. So my studio is right up the road, but I'm in our library space right now.
Yeah, I can see all the books behind you.
All art books.
Actually,
all art
books. I'm right next to my library, but I'm not going to move because I sort of believe in balance, as you can see.
I like that.
Yeah. Tell us why you've decided to make this jump, which seems to be very much anticipated. I read somewhere that you had been talking to Steven Spielberg, who lives out here.
Yeah, it's interesting because it wasn't, and I'm sure you probably have moments like this in your life and in your career. It wasn't as much a conscious decision as it was a force. That is to say that something that is pushing you in a direction and you just can't really resist anymore. I wasn't attempting to write a script. As a matter of fact, the first version of this wasn't a script at all. It was more in the form of a narrative letter to my sons. I was finally telling them what I promised I would tell them after all those years of saying, when you're older, when you're older, when you're older, about how I grew up and why it is exactly that I don't call my father dad. I call him by his first name. This thing started with me writing in the morning, trying to figure my way through these experiences and write it down in a way that it made sense to my sons, who are now 17 and 15. The oldest is going off to college. And as I was writing in the mornings, I would wake up at about 5 and write in the morning for a couple of hours. Then I would take my kids to school and I would go to the studio. And in the studio, I would listen to what I had written. I have this app on my phone that allows me to listen to what I write. And while I was listening, images were occurring to me. New things were emerging. And I would start drawing and sketching. And so I would write in the mornings, and that would inspire images. And by the time I was done, I had this kind of letter slash narrative to my sons, and I had a series of paintings. And I shared it with my sons, of course, but I shared it with a friend of mine. And it was that made me realize we had something more than just a text and a body of paintings.
It sounds like Exhibiting Forgiveness, the name of the movie, is sort of autobiographical. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it is very much true. It's very much based on my life. I mean, there, you know, once you put a thing into script form, then there are certain things that will necessarily need to change. Filmmaking itself requires certain kinds of parameters to be able to complete a thing. And so, for example, the character of my mother in the film is actually a conflation of my mother and my grandmother. My mother is very much alive. It's my grandmother who's passed away. The scene with the nail, I won't say too much about that, but the scene with the nail happened before I got to the dump, not at the dump. And the character of the wife is different from my wife. My wife is a musician, not a professional musician. She's actually a nutritionist. So there are things that made the narrative flow, but the truth of the experience is in fact mine.
Basically, in 20 or 30 seconds or less, describe the basic plot of this. I know it covers a period of time.
Sure. The basic plot of this film is, it's the story of a successful artist who is kind of at the peak of his career. And at that moment, his estranged father comes back into his life, desperate to reconcile. We see this successful artist as he's struggling to decide whether or not he wants to forgive his father, reconcile with his father. And the thing that he wants most in the world is to be different from his father and to pour into his children and his family in a way that he doesn't feel like he had for himself. That's the film in a nutshell. And the struggle is whether they will reconcile or not.
I read that you required that the actor who portrays the character who goes through this learn how to paint, and that everything in the movie has to have been done by him.
So sort of. So every painting in the movie is actually made by me. And as I said, I was writing and painting at the same time. But I required that he learned how to paint so that when I film him, I could shoot from whatever angle I wanted to shoot from without having to fake it. He has enough competence to be able to hold the brush, put a mark on canvas. He can paint. But in the end, I made those paintings. So one of the most complicated scenes in the film, you see him whitewashing these characters in the film. And that was one of the most difficult days of directing. I would start by saying, okay, Andre, action. And then he would make a brush stroke on the canvas and we'd shoot him and I'd say cut. And then I would put on my coveralls, step in and fix the painting, make it what it needed to be. And then I would say action again and he would go and paint. I'd say cut, I'd jump in, fix the painting. So I'm directing and painting, moving back and forth at the same time.
Tell us a little bit about Andre Holland and why you chose him. Some of the people who were involved in this in the acting are award-winning, and I wanted to ask you to mention a few.
Yeah, I mean, I feel so lucky to have worked with such extraordinary artists on my first project. It feels. I still can't quite believe it, to be honest with you. Your first feature film working with people like this is just such a rare opportunity. Andre is an extraordinary human being and an extraordinary artist. We had our first conversation and it was very clear to me that he would be capable of going as far as this role needed him to go. You needed to be able to find someone who could be comfortable with the level of anger and aggression that happens in moments in this film, while also being able to be tender and intimate. And there are lots of people who can do one or the other. And from Andre's earlier work, I knew from seeing him on stage, seeing him in Moonlight, I knew that seeing him in The Nick, I knew that he would be perfectly capable of being everything we needed him to be for this film. And he did not disappoint. I personally feel like he has very much an award-winning performance in this film.
What about some of the other actors?
Yeah, so one of the sleepers that people don't really know is John Earl Jelks. And John is little known. He's 65. He might be 66 at this point. He was a stage actor. He worked with August Wilson for years. And his wife died. And when his wife died, he kind of disappeared from the stage and from the world. Kim Coleman, my casting director, she sent me a self-tape of his, and I fell in love with him absolutely immediately. John did one other, kind of small feature film, but this is his first major feature film, John Earl Jelks. And I think his performance was tremendous, was absolutely tremendous as the father, as LaRon in the story. His personal story is a story worth investigating. And of course, I have Ingenue Ellis Taylor, the Oscar nominated actor, and Andra Day, the Oscar nominated actor. And again, I was intimidated when they agreed to do the project, because what do I know, you know? But I had an exceptional team of people around me. I mean, I have very, very special relationships with my producers, Derek C. in France, and Jamie Patrick Hoffman, and most of all, Stephanie Elaine. She was kind of the cultural heart and soul of this project for me. She was on the set every single day, helping me work through what it meant to be a director, literally learning on the job. So it was her counsel, it was her wisdom, her kindness that made this possible. Film is not a project that you do on your own. It's not a solo project. A film by Titus Kaphar is a complete misnomer. That's not what this is. This film was made by a lot of people who had the faith to go on this journey. There's no way I could have done it without them.
Where was it filmed, and how long did it take, and has it premiered yet?
It was filmed in New Jersey, but I grew up in Michigan. We wanted to shoot it in Michigan, but tax credits made it 20-30% more expensive to shoot it in Michigan. So we shot it in New Jersey. It premiered at Sundance, and it has been in many film festivals since. We showed in Duval, I don't know how to pronounce that, in France, and a great experience there. We are doing the Hamptons, as you know. We did the the Sidewalk Film Festival, which we won Best Feature Film for, which is really great. Tennessee Film Festival, and we also won in that. So the film is getting out there, and it opens in theaters October 18th. You know, at this point, it's only critics who are reviewing the film, but I will say we have a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's kind of exciting.
Well, you'll have, here at the festival, you'll have different people going to watch it, I presume. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here, I suppose.
I hope that's the case.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people here are quite excited about this. And I'm just personally delighted about it. I've been on the sidelines of many films, including one I was in, it was filmed in Bulgaria.
Oh, wow.
And up in Sofia at a Colosseum, one of those monster movies that this older gentleman did, who recently passed away, very famous monster guy. Mm. I was a senator in that. And I've been out here when Jaws was made, and all kinds of stuff. So I'm very much myself looking forward to it. Are you going to be out here, or are you?
I'll be there. Yeah. Yeah. I'm coming out. I hope to meet you in person.
Yeah, me too. I'd like to meet myself in person as well. let's see what else I was. Oh, have you been out here before to the Hamptons?
You know, years ago, I took one trip. Me and a buddy drove out there to actually deliver a painting to one of his collectors. And it was beautiful. And just to know the history of the artists who have been in that area and who have been inspired by the colors is gotten me a little bit excited about coming to visit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll have to go up into Springs for that, because that's basically where the light is still coming in a way that reminds people of the south of France, if you put in North Light.
I'm going to come see, and I will bring my sketchbook.
Well, good luck to you, as if you needed any, I guess, so far.
Thank you so much.
And I appreciate you being on the podcast, and we'll have this thing out on the front cover of the paper on October 4, which is about a week away.
About a week away, yeah.
Yeah.
And, Dan, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, me too. Same to you, including right. the dog, whoever that was.
Yeah. Okay. What a way to start the day. All right.
Bye-bye.
See you.